This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reiberger. And the topic of today's show is the healing power of ritual and spiritual exercises. When I was putting together my monthly show schedule, I thought, well, this certainly would fit in as far as the topic with where the energy is of 2014, which is all about healing on a higher level. And then when you look at the energy of January, which is really focused on that ebb in the flow of life and everything, where it's focused on stillness, reflection, dreaming, creating, and planning, I thought, oh my gosh, this is an absolutely perfect time for us to, for me and the guides to talk to all of us about the importance of ritual and then how to use ritual in the way that we desire. So that's what the show is going to be on today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the whole process of ritual. And then in the last segment, I'm going to be talking about some of the spiritual exercises that you can include in your ritual that makes the process, the time that you invest in the ritual process, makes it a lot more effective. I'm also going to be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about your health, or you want to talk about the energy, or you want to talk about today's topic, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canadian callers, and the international callers, it's the same number, 877-230-3062. Would love to hear from you, so please, if you have a question, just pick up the phone and give me a call. Also, if you would like to learn more about how to heal on a higher level, I'm actually offering a 90-minute online webinar on Thursday, January 30th at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topics that I'm going to be discussing is how to tap into this natural flow of consciousness and use it for healing, and what does that flow of consciousness really look like, because there's layers to it, and then understand that all that exists actually exists and flows effortlessly when it flows with the natural order of things. And so I'm going to be talking about understanding the natural order of things and then also how to use this natural order and the flow, the yin-yang, to be able to create the health that we would desire. I'm also going to be sharing information that is something that was taught in many of the mystery schools, and the first part of it is the seven universal principles of healing. And then I'm also going to be sharing that eighth principle that was very known to the mystics and the metaphysicians of ancient times to be able to help restore balance in the body, both physically and energetically, so we could use this eighth principle in order to expedite the healing process altogether. So I'm going to be talking about how the mystics used this wisdom and how they used it in a way that the person was able to transform illness into well-being in a very short period of time. And one of the things that is a part of that is recognizing the power that we have through the way that we think in order to be able to manifest the change that we desire, and to also recognize that this field of consciousness, this natural order of things, while it has cycles and it has the ebbs and flow, it really isn't bound by the human consciousness of the clock itself. And then the last thing I'm going to be talking about in the webinar is the connection between the eight principles and the perennial philosophy. And this perennial philosophy is a philosophy that basically is one that is an integral part of this natural order of things. And when we live within that perennial philosophy, then we find that movement and change is effortless, and we don't find ourselves suffering and struggling the way that we do. And interestingly enough also is the soul does not know of illness. It only knows of ill thoughts. I'm going to be discussing that as well. So again, the webinar, Healing on a Higher Level, is on January 30th, 5 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm going to be offering an early bird special of $11.95, which was to end today, January 15th. However, I've extended it until Friday, January 17th. So if you haven't signed up and it's something you're interested in, then I encourage you to go in and take advantage of the discount after the 17th. It's going to be $14.95. So again, something for you to think about. Also, if you can't make the event, but you really want the information, then what I'll do is encourage you to go ahead and register, because everyone who registers to participate, even if they can't because of schedule changes, will receive automatically receive the audio download of the webinar itself at no additional cost. It's just part of the being a part of the process itself. So I hope that you'll go in and check it out. Go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And then on the home page, on that moving bar, you'll see a slide that says Healing on a Higher Level. Just click on that slide, and that'll take you through the registration process. So I hope you'll join me. You know, I have always been a real believer in the power of ritual, and I've used rituals for years, and I've used it for a variety of reasons. I've used ritual to really be able to help me in the decision-making process. A lot of times, because of my personality and the way that I have to think things through and move between all facets of my brain before I can make a decision, when I experience that analysis paralysis, which really comes down to not having enough information to make the decision, I use ritual to be able to help me get unstuck in that analysis paralysis. I also use ritual for dealing with my own health issues and, being able to use ritual and the process of ritual to be able to see myself free of any discomfort or limitations within my body. And then to build on that image, which is a powerful part of rituals, is to build on that image and see myself in a place where I am free of this, the pain or discomfort. And in that way, it very powerfully moves me into a place where I'm really able to feel myself, see myself, hear myself and how I sound when I'm actually pain-free. The other thing that I use it for is really a lot of what the energy is right now in January is to really use that ritual time for that quiet reflection. And it's an interesting thing. If we try to do reflection while we're trying to fit it in the middle of everything else that's going on in our life, then what happens is that we really don't get the full effect. So what I do is I use the time of ritual for that reflection on not everything that I didn't get done in 2013, but everything that I accomplished in 2013. And that's a very, very important part in the power of ritual, is that we can use it for a reflective time on the things that we've accomplished versus the things that we haven't quite got off of that to-do list. So I actually use ritual for looking at the life that I desire and seeing myself and seeing my business and seeing my books and, my work and what I'm wanting to live, my dream of doing my work and having a balanced life. I use ritual as part of the process of that. And one of the things with the energy of 2014 also is that on the Healing on a Higher Level, what I keep getting from the guides is that this is a year where we have done so much tremendous letting go work in 2013 with all of the regular, the way that we live our life, and it's all been about quality of life, is that we actually are in the position of 2014. If we look at ourselves and our lives from the perspective of the soul, meaning differently than we do when we're stressed and pressed, then what we can do is really create an entire new reality for 2014. And that's what the healing energy of 2014 is about. It's about rising above and moving beyond where we have currently been and being able to bring ourselves into a new way of consciousness, a new perspective, a new way of seeing ourselves. And that is what 2014 really creates energetically for us to be able to do. And ritual is the perfect way to be able to do this. Rituals are always a part of our life. And, they've always been a part of our life. And in fact, the daily things that we do, such as cleaning and caring for our body, is actually a ritual. Eating meals is a ritual, whether we eat two or we eat three. All of that is very much a part of the ritual. When we go for walks and when we exercise is a part of ritual. And when I was preparing for the show, I was really looking at, you know, the difference between the rituals that really move us forward and going through those rituals, because that's what they are, that we just seem to do mindlessly, that has a repetitiveness, and why those accomplish the intention that we set when we get up and take care of our body, but it really doesn't move us forward. It's really about maintaining. So what I did is when I started really looking into ritual, I remember as a child that one of the rituals in late summer when I knew I was going to be going back to school is it was always a real big deal for my mom and I, and my mom was very sensitive to where it was quality time for each of us, and myself and my siblings. So what she would do is she would set aside special time that she would take each of us to go out and get our school supplies. And I can remember kind of that late summer ritual that I would look forward to, where I'd have the quality time with my mother, and we could go out and buy school supplies for the upcoming year. I can remember the excitement that I had over the new crayons that I would get, or the pencils, or the rainbow-colored construction paper, about all of the potential opportunities that were going to be there. I could see myself in school. I could see myself with my new teacher, with the friends that I was going to make. So it was really very, very exciting to me, because I knew that on some level that next year of school was going to really change me and help move me toward the real person that I really, really am. So it was something that I really looked forward to. And I tell you, even to today, when I'm going to be starting a new writing project, I go back to that same ritual, and I do it, of course, I write on the computer, but I really capture all of my thoughts and put together all of the outline and everything I want to do prior to that on a pad of yellow paper. And one of the things that I do when I start a new project that involves writing is I go out and I get something new. Maybe it's a spiral-bound notebook that I have going to capture. And then what I do is I always buy myself a brand new pack of pencils, or I buy myself a brand new pen that I absolutely love. And that's the ritual that puts me in the mindset to be able to come in and be excited about the new writing project that I've got mulling around in my mind and I'm wanting to put words to it. So when we look at rituals, then one of the things is that it really goes down to the basics. We need to really understand what they are. So rituals are really when we enter into a sacred space of the mind that isn't preoccupied with the demands of our daily living. That's one of the reasons why the daily rituals that we have, such as eating and caring for the body, all of those things are something that the mind just automatically does. It's a process that's called rote, meaning that we don't even think about it. That's that repetitiveness and that mindlessness that goes along with it. But when we enter into ritual, what we're really doing is we're entering into that real sacred space that basically is where we find a lot of that quietness of who we are. And in ritual, one of the value of ritual is it moves us into the silent place where the mental chatter and all the lists of things that we have to do and the yada yada that our brain is always telling us, it moves us beyond that into that place where we get to actually experience and honor the spiritual essence of who we are. Rituals are also recognition of the power of the individual forces that we have within us that we're able to use for healing. We're able to connect with those forces. We can call it energy, that spiritual essence of energy of who we are. And what ritual does is it connects us with that spiritual aspect of who we are. And then what we do is we use that healing energy that we have in order to be able to heal and to transcend, again, the thoughts that are very limiting, the thoughts that basically preoccupy us or distract us from the healing that we desire. Now, the soul within us, that spiritual essence, the energy associated with it, is always seeking healing. It doesn't know anything different other than being healed. So the ritual part, the aspect of ritual that connects us with that sacred space of the mind actually connects us with our soul. So then we're able to just be quiet with it. We're able to really get into that part of ourselves that has a tremendous capacity to be able to heal the mind and the thoughts and the body and where the body is at that time. Rituals are rites of separation from the old ways of being and thinking and even behaving, and it's actually a process of creating and integrating new modes and new models of living. It gives us a chance to dream. It gives us a chance to plan. It gives us a chance to contemplate the options that we have. Rituals are the visual expression of caring, bonding, and supporting of ourselves and others when we create ritual that involves other people. So ritual can be a very individualized process, and then it can be a very community process. However, within the community, while the ritual is supporting all, then the ritual is also supporting us individually. Rituals are moments to celebrate, to reflect, to dream, and to create what we desire. And rituals have always been a part of, you know, human evolution, and they're ways that all societies give meaning, richness, and structure to life. And what we use rituals for is they're actually healing ceremonies. And anytime we mindfully, meaning that we consciously set aside the time to be able to go into ritual, then what ritual does in that quiet space and that honoring the essence of who we are and connecting actually does healing, even if we're not consciously aware or set the intention for healing, it heals us on all kinds of levels. One of the things that happens in our humanness is that we have, in the evolution of technology and the busy schedule and the things that we that require our demands on a daily basis, is that we tend to, in our behavior, to really use ritual only when we're in challenging times. And when that happens, the soul basically is saying inside, we need to take a step back from what's going on and to get out of the thinking mode that we're in, and then to reset to that still point, which is the quiet, for us to be able to really come in and reconnect. So in challenging times, there's always an inherent desire that for us to develop rituals, that because they give us a sense of peace, they give us a sense of self, and they also give significance to where we are and the passages of life. They connect us with our soul, and the soul then provides the form and the guidance that we need in our lives on a daily basis. And the reason that ritual is so powerful in the healing aspect of it is that ritual connects us with our imagination, and imagination transcends all thought of where we are in that present moment and what's going on in our lives. So one of the real important ingredients and components of ritual has to do with imagination. Without ritual, we really don't have a map for how we're to think or how we're to act, and we don't have occasion for people to be able to share their common bonds and experiences. Now, if we wanted to really look at ritual from a everyday perspective, ritual is when we set time aside where we actually meet with the people who are important, friends or loved ones, and we turn off the TV and we turn down the noise and we go to an environment such as a restaurant, in this particular case if we're meeting friends, and we go to a place where is very ritualistic in the energy of the place itself. Rituals are the best ones that we believe in. That's really important when you decide what kind of rituals are really going to be impactful for you. Rituals cannot go against your belief system. And what I mean by that is we each have a value system within us, a core value system, a philosophy, really, that basically says, this is what I believe in. This is where my values are. This is what is important to me, not what's urgent, not what reflects other people's energy or their expectations or demands on us. But if you create a ritual that you really believe in and that you believe that are important, that's important to all aspects of your life and your healing, then it makes it very, very easy for you to create the ritual and to stay consistent in using that ritual in that timely fashion that allows us to connect and the healing to take place. Ritual honestly isn't something that we can sit down and say, okay, well, my ritual is going to be that I'm going to just sit here for about 2 or 3 minutes before I go, while I'm drinking my coffee or having my tea, and I'm just going to reflect on the day. That's not ritual. Ritual is meditation. It's where we set actual time aside that's consistent with our belief system, that ritual is important to us. It's important to the healing. And then when we connect that ritualistic process with what we believe in, then what we find is that rituals provide us the faith and the hope, which are really the primary factors, not only in healing, but really are the factors that keep us going when we get distracted or when the challenges come up in our life or when we find ourselves really wanting to just basically back off and say, you know what, I just need to just put this aside. This isn't really important now, and I need to get back into the process and dealing with these challenges. The reality of it is, even if the ritual was 5, 10, 15 minutes when you find yourself in that place, your imagination creates a tremendous amount of options, wonderful opportunities. And then when you come out of ritual, you find that you're refreshed, you've got faith, you've got hope, and you're ready to jump right in. Healing rituals in particular is any ritual where the intention, the entire purpose of the ritual, the intention behind it, is to make whole, meaning not to be where you were before you got ill, but the intention is to become better than you were before you became ill or you were in pain. The intention is to become more enlightened, more in tune with your body, more in tune with the circumstances that cause the muscle tension. With me, the minute I get into a place where I get really stressed, especially in writing, and I'm hunched over that computer as if I'm a vulture just trying to just figure out what to do and where I'm going to get my next meal, what I do is I use ritual prior to getting on the computer. I've got my new yellow pad, or I've got my new notebook, I've got my new pen, where in quiet times I've jotted down what I want. I have a ritual where I go in and I see myself sitting there in a way that I can just allow the words to flow because I'm open to whatever information is from my repertoire of what I've learned and what I've read, and then also being open to the guides and what they want to share. So it's really to become more enlightened. It's to become stronger than before the problem existed. And interestingly enough, when I created the rituals around writing, I used to just go in and sit down at the computer early in the morning and not stretch, not have that quiet time, not do the things that are important to me, those daily rituals, so I could get those out of the way and then do this ritual. Then I found about half hour into the writing process, not only were my thoughts blocked, but I also was reaching a place where I literally could not think clearly, and I was tense, and it showed up in my back and my feet. And I thought to myself, you know, I really need to create something that can help me deal with this tension. And the soul is very interesting because the soul said, rituals are great, Carol. Let's do a ritual. So the ritual is that every 20 minutes, I want you to set an egg timer, every 20 minutes I want you to get out of that chair, walk to a different part of the house, go outside, see something different, and then come back. My soul gave me a ritual, and it really worked. And then my job is I created a ritual before, and as a result, my body isn't experiencing a lot of the pain and discomfort that it did when I was in that, you know, grinding mode. So that's how it really works. Well, what I want to do is I do have a caller. So Paige, honey, please stay on the line. Thank you for calling me. But I'm going to be right back. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to be right back, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the healing power of rituals and then some of the spiritual exercises that we can actually use, that the nature and the order of those exercises are that it connects the mind, the body, and the soul. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me today, the show topic is on rituals and spiritual exercises and how we can use them to heal our body and then also use them to create the life that we imagine. Imagination is a very key component of doing rituals. So that's what I've been talking about in the first segment. This segment, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about rituals and some of the spiritual exercises that we can use. I also have time to take only a couple more calls. So if you have a question for me about today's topic or about your health, then I invite you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S. callers, Canadian callers, international callers. Of course, international callers, just dial your international calling code, and then 877-230-3062. What I want to do is, before I actually jump in, Paige from South Carolina has been very patient waiting for me. So what I want to do is, hi, Paige, I want to go ahead and take you. Hi, sweetie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be able to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Likewise. So, gosh, you know, I'm looking at my board and it's, you know, look into the joint pain and everything. And I'm thinking, I have, interestingly enough, sweetie, last week, many of my readings were all about joint pain.
Wow.
And one of the things that I picked up for that was a general theme, and I want to start there, and then I'm going to be quiet and let you take me to the next step, is that what joint pain indicates is that there's a kind of a hunkering down that's taking place, like we're in a protection mode, and that what we're doing is we're just kind of hunkering down and taking a wait and see, which is perfect for the energy of January. But we're really very vital humans, and we're supposed to be standing tall and using our muscles and hunkering down in the psychological aspect. It seems to just kind of put a lot of pressure on the muscles and the joint pain. So I just wanted to start out by sharing that in a general theme, because I found it so interesting that so many of my readings last week are on this. So how can I help you personally?
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I was wondering if you could shed some light for me about the best way for a beginner to start daily rituals to improve their health as well as connect with more with healing energy. And how do you find the rituals that work best for you?
Well, the first thing, and I'll start with your last part, how do you find rituals that are best for you? When it comes to healing, the ritual has to really be around that you believe that you can heal the area that you're focusing on. If there's any doubt around that, then you will find that the impact or the healing power of that ritual will take longer. So what I suggest is that the first thing that you do in your ritual, and it's going to be a three-part process, is the first thing in the ritual is that when you're laying in bed, before you even get up, is to just take a few moments and to take a deep breath and visualize yourself moving fluidly, being free of pain, relaxing the muscles, relaxing all of the tension. You can relax your forehead, relax your eyes, relax your mouth, because that's where we carry a lot of tension. The first 45 minutes of when we wake up, honey, really sets the tone energetically and physically because of where we are mentally, of how our entire day is going to be. So the first ritual is that I'm going to wake up, I'm going to lay there, I'm going to stretch, I'm going to see myself being fluid, and I'm going to see myself being free of pain throughout the day. Then get up. And again, this doesn't have to be a long period of time, but it sets the energy of the entire day. Then I encourage you to use the same process that animals use anytime you sit, anytime that you have been standing in one place. Stretch before you start the movement. So another ritual may be just sitting, and if you have a lot of discomfort in the joints and the ankles and the feet, then what you do is just sit and create that quiet space, focus on your breathing, get it to be able to be to relax. That's one of the most effective ways for us to go into that quiet space, is focusing on our breathing. And it isn't forcing the breathing, it's just coming into the natural flow of our breathing. And we all have our own little pattern. My pattern happens to be that I take a deep breath, I take 4 or 5, depending on how stressed I am, short breaths, I take 2 deep breaths. So I just focus on my breathing, and that's something I encourage you to do. And then stretch. See yourself moving fluidly, don't know herky-jerky. Doing that stretching process, use that as part of the meditation, being in touch with your body, feeling the muscles moving, seeing if there's any place that's tight in the muscles, send white light energy to that area in the muscle. White light has all the vibrational frequencies of the 7 chakras, very cooling, very healing, allowing yourself the time to do that. If you do yoga, yoga's a wonderful ritual. If you can't do all of yoga, doing part of it. And then the other ritual is that kind of, and I'm going to say it for you personally, is like me, is that I have a 20-minute rule. Every 20 minutes, I change scenery. And my ritual then, and the third part of your ritual on a daily basis, is to change the scenery. The reason that I say that is that when we experience pain, the mind immediately becomes irritated with the body. Irritation creates inflammation. Inflammation that is prolonged or chronic creates muscle tension and joint deterioration. So if we did a 20-minute rule and you got up and you had to change the scenery, then what you would do is your mind wouldn't get into that place of really focusing and hunkering down on what you're doing, like, I have got to get this done, and I don't care, body, work with me, do whatever the comments are. But try that and see if that'll work. So for you with the healing is that I would look at those 3 different aspects. And again, they're not a long time to do any of them. And you may find, my sense is that when you first wake up and you do that very short ritual and that visualization and that using the imagination to see yourself free of any discomfort, your joints moving the way that they need to, you know, kind of like running with the wind, whatever that may be, walking on the beach, whatever you love, sweetie, that you desire to have the freedom to do, that you believe that you can do that again or do it, that's where you want to go. And my sense is that with you, Paige, that first morning ritual is going to become so special. And even with the demands that happen after the alarm clock goes off, you're going to find that you'll actually get up a few minutes earlier in order to just have this time. That time to you personally, sweetie, sets the intention and the behavior and the mind pattern of your entire day. That, out of everything I've said, is your most important ritual. And give yourself the amount of time that you need now to be sure that you do it consistently. If you get distracted and you have to get up, so be it. Move to the next ritual. And then the next morning, go back to that morning time.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. That really puts it into perspective, and I can see how I can change my morning routine to make sure I can fit that time in.
Absolutely. And And the other thing is, sweetie, is that when you're looking at the healing of your body and you're visualizing this, see yourself standing tall. You don't feel real tall. Is that true?
That's true, yes.
See yourself feeling tall, like you're kind of like the ancients called them the Hathors. They were 7 foot or over that. See yourself tall and see your shoulders coming back and your head coming up, your neck straightening up and your chin coming up, and see yourself standing tall. And then what that's going to do is it's going to change kind of that visual perception of looking down, and it's going to actually change the entire skeletal structure, and it's going to take a lot of pressure off of the skeletal part in the shoulders, the neck, down to the thoracic back part, into your arms, into your wrists, into your fingers, and now I feel you flowing. And that will take the pressure off of your lower spine. I can pick up the left knee. I pick up the right ankle. And it's just like we just need to get you stretched out. Think of the Avatar, the movie Avatar.
Yeah.
That's you.
Well,
visualize that and the freedom of movement with it. I think that'll help you a lot.
Oh, thank you so much, Carol. I really appreciate it. That's so helpful to me.
Well, thank you, and you are welcome, and thanks for calling me. All right, so let's go back to rituals. And the reason that rituals work for healing is because they're structured, meaning that they require specific steps that are really focused on recovery. An example of a ritual for healing that has structure to it is the 12-step program that was developed by AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. And by the way, this particular 12-step program is now being used for eating disorders. It's now being used for gambling disorders and even dealing with codependent relationships and how to break the pattern of being in those different those aspects. And again, it's very structured and it has a lot of process and steps to it. Rituals for healing really start at the very beginning of what creates illness in the body. And that is that rituals reduce anxiety and they restore hope and faith, which then works with the depression that is just a common connection if we have chronic patterns of illness or discomfort or pain in the body. So when we use rituals for healing, then what we're able to do is that we really engage in a very meaningful activity, and they're also really very great and powerful substitutes for that non-constructive worrying that happens, that when the brain gets the message, OMG, we have a danger signal down in the neck area, that means that the left hand's going to hurt and it's not going to work as well and blah, 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 those patterns. So when we use healing rituals, what it does is it reduces not only the anxiety that this process is going to take place, but also the depression. Also, what rituals do is they reduce feelings of helplessness because they encourage us to accept ourselves and to really have compassion for ourselves. A lot of that same compassion that we share with other people, but it really comes in and it says, let's focus on you. Let's focus on really accepting who you are and where you are at the time, and then let's take you from where you are and using ritual and making you much better than where you are and healing you at a completely different level. A simple ritual for this is to take a few minutes that you just spend time with yourself and by yourself and focus on your accomplishments and reflect on the ways that you've helped other people. That is very ritualistic. When making rituals, there's certain things that are part of the process, and if you really include these different aspects of it, then ritual will be very powerful. Ritual needs structure. It needs a beginning, a middle, and an end. Before you start ritual, set an intention of what you desire to accomplish within that ritual. Plan the details carefully in advance. There's much more power that resides in the preparation. What that means is, as I was just saying with Paige, is before you get out of bed, you set the intention of what you want your ritual, that quiet time, to be able to accomplish, and it has that beginning, a middle, and an end. And every morning when she wakes up, she will take a deep breath. She will go into the preparation of it. And really, that adds to the power of ritual. An analogy that I use and share with people in preparing for ritual is that it's like preparing for a real important house guest, and you want everything to be right. You want your guests to be comfortable. You want them to have a pleasurable experience. And you want them to leave, when they do, really feeling good about the visit and wanting to come back. The other thing is avoid any type of exercise, breathing, meditation, anything that you do not believe that is going to help you, a breathing process, then avoid that. Because what it does is that it puts you in a place where you think you should be doing it a certain way. This is something I find with meditation, is that you feel like you should do meditation a certain way. Well, meditation isn't a one-size-fits-all. It does have structure. It does have steps to it. So in meditation, it's going in and believing that the steps that you take in that quiet, because that's really what meditation is. It's going to that quiet, still place, reflecting, introspection, contemplation, dreaming, and planning. And then what you do is that you will find that the ritual will be very powerful. The other thing is if you're going to be creating a ritual or involved in a ritual that is started by someone else, is be sure that the energy of that ritual is going to give you what you desire, and to go in and actually be with a group of people that are part of the ritual and be sure that you're comfortable there. Because if you aren't comfortable in the ritual and you try to be there and it doesn't work for you, number one, you're going to get frustrated. And number two is that you're wiggling or you're not being able to go there could really be very distractive to other people. And then also when creating a ritual is that recognize that your ritual doesn't fit everyone else. So protect yourself from others' criticism and also if they would be offended by your ritual. And remember that ritual is for you. And if you enter into community ritual, then it's something that you can be sure that you can fit within the community and you're comfortable. That's what I'm really talking about. There, the belief systems, the structure, the steps within that process is very effective for you. For example, AA, a lot of people who have alcohol addictions are not comfortable with the group ritual of AA and going through the process. While it's very effective if it's against your belief system, then the reality is you won't continue the process. So in that particular case, the 12 steps has great value, and it may be that you find another way to use those steps, either working with a psychotherapist or working with a psychologist who is familiar with those steps, as most of them are, and then that becomes the ritual, is seeing them and having the structure and so forth. So some of the spiritual exercises that work well in planning your ritual, because remember how important that is, guided imagery, as it's really a powerful expression of your imagination. Relaxation and breathing techniques are very much a part of rituals and works very well for someone. But if you're going to use breathing exercises and you're going to be using a ritual of meditation and you've been taught that in order to do this, you've got to take 4 deep breaths and that's against the natural rhythm of your breathing, then that ritual isn't going to be impactful. In fact, it's going to create frustration and you're not going to want to use it. Another exercise that's very good for planning your ritual is plan your ritual. Where is it going to be? You could even set up an altar, meaning special things to you. Pictures, a vision board is also a ritual. Creating it, you know, planning it, creating it, gathering all the pieces. And then listening to soothing music and calming music, and that's all part of the preparation as well. Also, you can create audios of your own voice that you can listen to that keeps you in that quiet place when that mental chatter wants to come in, keeps you in that quiet place, or you can actually download guided imagery, or in my case, in the work that I do, psycholumetry, which works on a psychological and an energetic and a soulful basis. Then you can use those downloads, or you can use hypnotherapy. Very, very powerful. And then also you can create art. Art is a very, very effective way to be able to create that healing picture, mandalas, and coloring how you want to look, and then writing about it. So the power of visualization, and then the audio with the words, very, very powerful. So those are some of the things that you would be able to use in looking at using ritual. The other thing that's important with ritual is that it really has a progression about it. And what I mean by that is that you will start creating rituals that at that moment are very impactful and generate the imagination, connection, and that faith and that hope and can get you started. But you'll find over the course of time that that ritual may not be as impactful, or you're not getting the results from it the way that you did when you first started. Don't become discouraged. Then create new rituals that move you into that next stage of consciousness and that enlightenment consciousness and the other place that you want to be. And go in and allow that ritual process to evolve. Now, going back, every time you create a new ritual, remember, it needs structure, it needs planning, and it needs to have intention set of what you desire. So if you set the first intention that you want the freedom in your joints and the pain to go away, great place to start. Once that goes away, then maybe you want to really see your muscles being like this wonderful racehorse that comes in and that can just run with the wind. And so then the ritual would be on that part of the body. And then maybe the ritual is on managing stress and creating a special place where your body feels stress-free. And what does that feel like? And what do you look like? And what are you saying? What can you hear yourself saying? So again, it's very, very much a progressive process. And the spiritual exercises that you use as your rituals change may also change. So you may find that in the evolution of your rituals is that art will be the most effective way for you to be able to harness that imagination for what you want. So your ritual may center around that with soothing music in the background. But maybe it isn't focusing on the breathing. Maybe you have evolved in the ritual where you just turn that same music on. That's, remember, importance of preparation, pattern, and structure. If you're going to use art for part of a ritual and you want to use soothing music, you want the same soothing music as you start your ritual and you end your ritual, kind of like my radio show. We have something called bump-in music. It's that music that basically lets me know and you know the show's going to start. And then what it also does is the bump-out music is the same, and it lets you know and me know that the show is coming to an end and that it's over. And then it puts me into a place where I can, you know, go in and relax and then go through what I say at the end of every show, and then that allows me to disconnect from the process itself. So fun. The energy and the healing on a higher level is getting into the flow and the natural order of things, tapping into that enlightenment consciousness, seeing yourself beyond the human limitations, really clearing out ill feelings. And one of the most effective ways to be able to do that is to create ritual. So I hope that you will, you know, take this energy that we're in and take the month of January that's all about the reflection and about the dreaming and about the planning and really look at using ritual and all of this energy and all of the process to be able to create a new reality that you desire for 2014. Everything in the universe, everything in consciousness is supporting us to be able to be the divine healers that we're designed to be and to move us into that place where life becomes effortless. And when challenges come in, we don't find ourselves falling back into old patterns. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Gosh, I always love sharing this. Thank you to the caller that came in. I had another caller, so please give me a chance next week. Call me back. I would love to be able to help you. Have a wonderful week. Use this energy of January 2014 in a very healing way. And go to my website and sign up for the newsletter and then also the archives if you want to listen to this again. Light and love. Have a wonderful week. I'm going to see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to the Carol Ryberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.ryberger.com. That's www.ryberger.com. See you soon.